看着水。然后咱们两个人蹲来。
Okay, let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then we shall commence the puja. Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo, Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo, Namo Bunsi Sijia Moni Fo, Namo Guan Suin Pusa.南无观世音菩萨，南无观世音菩萨，南无阿弥陀佛，南无阿弥陀佛，南无阿弥陀佛，南无弥勒佛，南无弥勒佛，南无弥勒佛，南无普贤菩萨，南无普贤菩萨，南无普贤菩萨，南无佛菩萨，南无佛菩萨。南无佛菩萨，阿拉汉萨玛萨布多巴嘎瓦，布当巴嘎万当阿比瓦迪米，苏阿卡托巴嘎瓦达达摩达曼那玛萨米。สุปาติปันโนบะกาวะโตสาวกสังโฆสังฆังนะมามิโอเค you can be seated then we will commence the chanting turn to page 1นะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะนะโมตัสสะภะคะวะโตอะระหะโตสัมมาสัมพุทธัสสะBuddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami,Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang GacchamiPānāti pātā vēramani sikkhā padāṁ samādhiyāmi Ādīnā dānā vēramani sikkhā padāṁ samādhiyāmi Kāmesu micācārā vēramani sikkhā padāṁ samādhiyāmiMusāvādā vēramani sikkhā padāṁ samādhiyāmi Surāmerayā majjhāpamādathāna vēramani sikkhā padāṁ samādhiyāmi Now we are chanting Padipa Puja, offering of light. Gandha sarapaditthenaDipena tamadang sina Tiloka dipang sambuddhang Pujayami tamonodang Ganda sambarayutena Dopenahang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyang tang ปูจาบาจานะมุตเถมังวันนากันดากุโนเปตังเอตังกสุมาสันตทินปูจายามิโมนินดาสสิริปาดาสารโรเหปูเจมิบุตรังกุสุเมนาเนนาปุณเณนามเตนาเชโหตุโมคังปูปังมิลายติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตัตตาวานิยานิสภาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปานิยังปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตเถมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปาเลปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตเถมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตโบจานังปริกาปิตังอนุคัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตเถมัง Now we shall make aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of clear water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and gone-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of our May our spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until... Okay, stop for a while. The last one is sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings with the exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we shall now pay respect to Tripajan. Bhutang Pujemi. Dhammang pujemi, Sanghang pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated. Then just now, I think Sister Queenie brought some fruits. We will make the offering to her. sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, yeah. Will you off the light? Huh? Then after that, you can have your meditation. So we will have 35 minutes of meditation. Huh? Okay, I will off the light. For those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away start your meditation. For those who are still new, or those who still need instruction for meditation, I will give you some guideline. Huh? Okay. Just relax body and mind. Huh? Relax every aspect of body and mind. Huh? Feel yourself relax and silent. Yeah. Then make sure you have a comfortable posture where you can sit for some time, yeah, to develop the meditation. Then you check your backbone, make sure it's straight. Yeah. Then close your eye, maintain attentiveness or awareness at the forehead. Yeah. Feel, don't think, just feel your forehead. If there's any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just feel and relax it. What I'm teaching you is the mind sweeping method or body scanning. You scan through your body, yeah? Starting from your forehead. This is to make you calm and peaceful. This mind sweeping method is a very good, skillful means, yeah? To help you to decondition your heedless thinking, to bring about more calmness to your mind, yeah? Because you feel and you relax, you don't think anymore. Then we learn to train this mind to be at the location we want it to be. So we start with the forehead, feel, relax. Wherever there is any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just feel and soothingly relax into it. Then you move your attention down to your eye muscle. Do the same. Just feel each and every strand of your eye muscle and relax deep into it. Then you move down or you scan down to your facial muscle. Feel, relax, relax and relax. Feel it soothingly relax. Every aspect of your facial muscle. Huh? And in order to assist you to relax further, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror radiating a radiant smile. If you can smile, you feel good. There is joy, there is happiness. That's why your facial muscle relaxes by itself. Hmm? So you visualize yourself radiating a radiant smile. Then after that, you can radiate loving kindness or metta, following what I radiate. You can recite, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. As you recite, may I, this body and mind, you must feel with your mind, your body and mind, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the well-being and happiness within your mind, within your entire being, your entire body and mind. So feel it, each and every cell within your body and mind, feel it, having this joy and happiness. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness or joy within you. Then you continue to read it. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Feel your body and mind free from all suffering, both physically and mentally. Then may it too be free from all harm and danger. Then may its mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. So this will help you to develop inner well-being. The mind sweeping method brings about inner peace. Then metta or loving kindness brings about inner well-being. So these are the first two benefits of training your mind to be peaceful, to be calm. So inner peace leading to inner well-being is very useful. And you can repeat this metta to your loved ones. May my loved ones to be well, happy and peaceful. May they to be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful also. May their body and mind too be free from all suffering, free from all harm and danger. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can now radiate this same love and metta to all beings. May all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, and all meditator, Dhamma friends, may they all too be well, happy and peaceful always. Well, happy and peaceful always. May their body and mind too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. Free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. Then we can continue to radiate. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then we extend this metta or loving kindness meditation to all beings throughout the entire existence. May all beings within the whole of SS2, Petalingjaya, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, and our Mother Earth, planet Earth, extending to all our solar system, our galaxy, our Milky Way, and all beings within the entire universe. May they all too be well, happy, and peaceful. May their mind states too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May they all too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you come back to your facial muscle, feel and relax every part, don't think. Then you scan it down to your neck, feel, relax, shoulder, feel, relax, hand, feel, relax, back to shoulder. Then you scan it down to your heart area or chest area, feel, don't think, just feel. If there's any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just relax, relax and relax into it. For those who really know how to meditate, if your mind becomes very quiet, very peaceful and very still, then you don't do anything. You just silence everything and just feel. If your object of meditation, which is the breathing or anapanasati, has become very subtle, then just silence everything and just feel. Don't do anything. Then later on, the awareness will drop down to your heart base naturally. Then when you feel your heart, you can detect many things. The easiest is, of course, the vibration around your heart area. Then the other one is your heartbeat. Wherever there is any vibration that you can detect, or your heartbeat, you just silence everything and just stay there. Just be aware of it, feel, and allow it to become more and more subtle. then this mind will settle down and stabilize to become the silent mind in sati. This is what the Buddha called pasati. Pasati is tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind without thought. And there is the meditative mind. So our main purpose is to train our mind so that it become very peaceful, very quiet, fully aware, and silent. Then you can meditate. For those who are new, it's okay. You just feel relaxed, like you relax your forehead. Then you move your attention down to your stomach, do the same, feel relaxed. Then abdomen, feel relaxed. Buttock, feel relaxed. Then your leg, feel relaxed. Then you reverse the whole cycle, the body scanning or the mind sweeping method. You reverse it, feel the leg relaxed. Then feel the buttock again, relax. Then feel your abdomen, feel relaxed. The stomach, feel relaxed. Chest area, silent everything, feel and relax. Then your shoulder, hand, back to shoulder, and your neck, feel relaxed. Just feel and relax, no more thinking. Then you move it up, sweep it up to your facial muscle again, feel relaxed. Facial muscle, feel, relax. Then your forehead, feel and relax. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. So this is the meditative state. This calmness, this peacefulness and this awareness is a meditative mind. But for those who are still new, it is very difficult to maintain this peacefulness or quietness of mind. So you need to stabilize it through another technique or skillful means. We call it anapana sati. Anapana is in and out, breath. Sati is mindfulness. So we have to stabilize this peacefulness or mindfulness through anapana sati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. So like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing in front of your nostril. Silent everything and just feel. Then like the Buddha said, breathing in, you are aware. Breathing out, your mind is aware. So awareness, which is the mind and the breath, move as one without thought. That is anapana sati. So every time you relax and silent, maintain awareness at your breathing in front of your nostril, you just feel. The moment you detect your breathing, breathing in, the mind is aware. The awareness and the breathing move as one without thought. And that is anapanasati. Initially, if you are not trained or skillful, split second the mind will wander off. You will not be able to maintain the awareness of in and out breath. But don't worry, be patient. Every time it wanders off, bring it back. Every time it wanders off, bring it back. If you are patient enough, not long, this anapanasati will stabilize. Then you will be able to do it. Then when anapanasati comes into being, when it stabilizes, your mind will experience a type of calmness, a type of peacefulness, born of mindfulness of the in and out breath. The Buddha call it piti, P-I-T-I. Piti is a Pali word. It stands for spiritual calmness, spiritual rupture. So you continue to train, continue to relax into every mind state, and continue to maintain the awareness of this in and out breath. Then after a while, this piti will become very stable. Then as you experience this spiritual calmness or spiritual joy or rupture, you will feel very good. You will like to meditate. And as you continue to relax into it, the breathing will become like long breath. And it will become more and more clear, more and more slow. Then after a while, this piti will transform to become sukha. Sukha is a more refined state of peace. It is called mental bliss is a blissfulness, a blissful state experienced by your meditative mind that is very quiet, very peaceful. And as your mindfulness slows down and becomes long breath, you will experience great tranquility and stillness. Initially, this peacefulness becomes very blissful. You can experience them no harm. Then you continue to relax into it. It transforms further until finally the breathing becomes very subtle, like no more breathing. Even the long breath, they will all stabilize and like no more. So during that time, you just silent everything and just feel and be with the moment. Then after some time, as you stabilize and relax deep into it, you will be able to detect the subtle breathing, like no breathing, but the mind that is in sati can have the ability to detect the subtle breathing. Then you realize very small movement of the breath can make you peaceful and quiet. So that is what pasati is all about. The tranquility of mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. So when you hit this, you have developed enough skill to meditate. Then you just silent everything and just feel. Don't do anything. Technically, your mind is already in sati. It doesn't need any object of meditation to become quiet or peaceful. So this is pasati, tranquility or stillness of mind, the silent mind, which is also the meditative mind. So I'll allow you to meditate, to train your mind until you develop this stability. And then you silent everything. This meditative mind will understand many things. Whatever that arises within your five physical senses and the mind, we call it the sixth sense. Upon contact, what happened? The mind will understand. And it can be at peace with every moment of perception, every moment of consciousness, every moment of feeling, every moment of activity of mind or whatever that arises. Then you will start to understand how you function as a human being, how the mind arises and passes away following certain nature's law, citta niyama, dhamma niyama. And you will experience all of the various dhamma too, the Four Noble Truths, the Three Evil Roots, the Five Spiritual Faculties, the Seven Factors of Enlightenment, and all the various essential dhamma that the Buddha talked about. You will experience them. That's how you develop the understanding, to develop the wisdom. Okay, now I will let you meditate on your own. I will ring the bell after about 10 to 15 minutes. 15 minutes. for those who still want to meditate, you can continue for yourself and now slowly, mindfulness, come out of meditation. Then try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind states that you need to use to develop the daily mindfulness meditation when you are out in the daily life. Okay, now we turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. I will read to you the English meaning. Invocation to the devas. In this universe in their entirety, let the devas or deities come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samantha Chakawalesu Atragachantu Devata Saddhamman Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho Vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanaiko Pachyatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichipatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sango Yadidang Chattari Purisa Yokani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakeneyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Triple Gem. Buddhang pujami. Dhammang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Okay. You can relax yourself. Then maintain some form of attention. Then we will continue our Diamond Sutta. We are at page 88, We will read the opening verse on page 1. Verse for opening a sutta. The unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, turn to page 88. Okay. We start from above. There is no mark of self, and no mark of others, and no marks of living being, and no mark of alive. You encounter someone and say, the Vajra Sutta, which is Diamond Sutta, says that you should be without a mark of self. You should not see me as so important, nor should we be involved in the existence of you or the mark of others. If we have no self or others, then there is no mark of living being, and thus no mark of alive. So this is the direct translation from the commentary. Then the commentary goes on. The person listens and thinks, oh, you have to separate from all marks. You see, when you use the thought, you have this problem. The thought will say, we have to separate from all mark. One who can leave all mark is called a true bodhisattva. A bodhisattva does not say, I did the act of merit. I have this much virtue. I built a monastery. I print those sutta. He is devoid of such mark. That is, he truly forgets them. Actually, here is what Xuanhua say, the commentaries. The actual cultivation is not to forget. Forgetting is trying not to think of it. This one is with understanding. No mark means this is not you, not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why the forming mind is not you. That's why there is no mark of a self existing. That's why we develop the understanding of non-self, leading to the understanding of emptiness or anatta nature. So this part, we leave the commentary as it is. We develop our own understanding. He doesn't just become fanatical about remaining anonymous. So there is someone asked, who printed that sutta? He will reply, I don't know. When in fact he did it himself. That's an example of being too concerned with remaining anonymous. Is that clear? So you don't try to interpret the concept of noma. So you think you cannot say, I print. Because it is the consciousness, the form and mind. So when you relate to form and mind, there is a I, there is a me. But that one is not a permanent unchanging entity. And that one is not you. So you can use it to communicate for mundane existential condition arising worlds. convention. We call it the convention. It's not an ultimate truth. So if you understand, you can use it when you are referring to conditioned states, existential world, then the I and the me exist. But when you have deep understanding, when you have penetrated the truth, when you have realized the truth, there will be no such concept or idea. Deep within, through your wisdom, you will know, he know me, he know you. This is just a worldly condition, the convention of the existential world. Then I go on. If you know something, say so. If you don't know, say you don't know. If no one asks, you don't have to volunteer all the details of your most recent meritorious deed. But if you print the sutta and forget it, so that when it is done, it's done. Then there is no mark. Like Quang Ching Lao Sang say, don't try to hold on to the idea, hey, I printed this. No. I am the one instrumental to printing this book. However, although you forget it, no merits or virtue exists. When you have no outflow, the merits and virtue also have no outflow. If you have outflow, the merits and virtue also have outflow. So this is Chen Hua's way of explaining through his commentary. If you can understand the unconditioned Dhamma, your merits and virtue also become unconditioned. So it's your state of mind. Like that day, my wife, I think he shared a Wu Ping Jing a little with me. It is the two aspects of cultivation, Yu Wei Fa and Wu Wei Fa. If you use the mundane mind to cultivate, then it is the conditioned Dhamma. But if you use your true mind to cultivate, it is the unconditioned Dhamma. That's why, each year, Yu Wei Fa, the Diamond Sutta, the fourth stanza. When it's Yu Wei Fa, everything is just impermanent, leading to empty nature or anatta nature. That's why Zhu Mong Huan Pao Ring. Then Zhu Lu Yi Lu Tian. It's like a dew, so impermanent. When the sunrise is gone, then like a flash of lightning, as real as it can be, within that moment it arises. After that split second, it's dead and gone. That's why like a flash of a lightning, gone. So how real can life be? How real can existence be? That's why you must have silent mind to insight into all this, to realize all this, so that you are not deceived, not deluded. Okay, can follow, Then after that, if you can understand the unconditioned Dhamma, means if you have understood and realized the true nature, the true mind, then whatever you do with that mind is way far from the unconditioned mind. Your understanding is different. So that type of merits and virtue is also from the unconditioned mind. That's why there is no outflow and there is clear understanding, no mark, nothing. It's done. Done without any delusion, without any mark of a being doing it, of a being to be saved, of any Dhamma or whatever. That's why Heart Sutta explained the same. In true emptiness, there is no birth, no old age, sickness and death. There is no Four Noble Truth. There is nobody who attained. So all this, you will start to understand. Then we continue from last Tuesday. Perhaps you choose the line which says, if one seeks me in form, this is what the Buddha told the disciple, if one sees me in form, if one seeks me in sound, he practices a deviant way. You understand this, You see, when you see something, we have already gone through, There are so many levels of seeing. Kan san si san, kan san bu si san, then kan san yu si san. So if you see me in form, means what? The famous sentence in the Surangama Sutta. Perception of form is what? Perception of form is aggregate of mind, consciousness. You use that mundane mind to perceive. That's why you see form. That is the first level of seeing. And that is consciousness. Whereas the non-perception is wisdom. Why? Because this is unreal, understand or not? Condition arising, consciousness. How real can it be? It does not last. It's impermanent. Split second is day and gone. When you perceive it, that moment it exists in your mind as an image. Externally, no name. But you label it through your perception because of your memory, your conditioning. That existence is condition arising. Externally also condition arising, not so real. Dependent on condition, it arises. Then how you come to know about it, how you perceive it, through your mental, which is just an image, a moment of consciousness. This is even more unreal, isn't it? How real can the image be? Yeah? No solidity, nothing, just an image. So externally already not so real. The way you perceive it is just an image, is even more unreal. Then why do you cling onto it? Why do you hold onto it? Why do you still cannot see the universal characteristics, the truth behind it? Why do you still get deluded by it? And everything, the phenomenal world, is like so real to you. That's why it has power over you. That's why when you see the Buddha in form, or you perceive the phenomenal world as real, through real form, as permanent, you will suffer. You will be deluded. That's why the Buddha said, if you see him in form, you practice the deviant way. Now you can follow that. It's as serious as that, you know. Not? You are practicing the deviant way, you know. Because you don't have wisdom, you don't have understanding, you still become gullible. Form still has power over you. You remember what I taught you last time? Initially, you must learn to see. Learn to see what? Form. Then after that, silence your mind and learn to see the unreality of form, the condition arising state, and the image through the mind when you perceive it. So you must learn how to see form, the unreality of form, because it's condition arising, just an image. Then after that, because when you see its characteristic and unreality, the condition arising state so clearly, you will penetrate and have the ability to see beyond form. That's why these three stages you have to cultivate. Learn to see form, the unreality of form. Then only you can see beyond form. And when you see beyond form, what do you see? That's why the Zen master, the student came, run across the river, then excitedly tell the master, "Master, master, I awakened. I already understood." Then the master say, "Good, good, good, come, 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 see. What is that?" The moment he say table, the master, Zen master whack him. He say, "You enlightened, you awakened, yet there is still table." Means what? He sees what? He sees form. Means he is still not enlightened, practicing the deviant way. Then not only form, no. The Buddha said, if one seeks me in sound, means all the other senses, sense data, color, shape and form, light, smell, taste, tactile, or mental images, you practice the deviant way. Because the unconditioned cannot be realized through the mundane mind. the thinking mind. That's why you use the mundane mind, the thinking mind, or the heedless mind to cultivate. Means you are using thought-based. Understand? Thought-based meditation. You use the wrong instrument to cultivate. You should silence everything and allow the silent mind to arise, which is the tea. That's why you must not seek the Buddha in form. You must not seek the Buddha in the sight, yeah? Or sound, or vibration, or smell, or taste, or tactile. You cannot. Because these are conditioned arising phenomena, not the ultimate reality. So you cannot awaken. You cannot realize the truth. You cannot penetrate the Dhamma. So this statement is very good. If one sees me in form, if one seeks me in sound, he practices a deviant way and cannot see the Tathagata. Who is the Tathagata? Huh? Who is the Tathagata? Huh? Tathagata, of course, is another name for the Buddha. So, Tathata is suchness. Tata is suchness. Tathagata is an expert in suchness. That's why his other name is called the Tathagata. So, the Buddha make it very clear. If you seek him in form or sound, you practice the wrong way or deviant way. And you cannot realize the enlightenment that the Buddha realized. That's why you cannot see the Tathagata. You cannot see like the Tathagata. This gatha is in the later portion of the Diamond Sutta. The Buddha himself spoke it. And so the me refer to Sakyamuni Buddha. That's why that one is his Nimanakaya, functional body. That's why he says, know that that one is exists in the conditioned world. So you cannot say when he understands that that one exists, he has a mark. No. Well, he knows that one is just a condition arising from a mind, karmically conditioned out for him to use. That's why it's called the functional body of the Buddha, Nimanakaya. And he is not deluded by it. He knows it's not him. That's why there is no mark. But for convention, for communication, he has to allow the concept to come in. So the Buddha himself spoke it. And so the me refers to Sakyamuni Buddha, means that mundane form at that time. If one sings a fine song for the Buddha and searches for him in that way, he cannot perceive the Tathagata's Dhamma body. Earlier on in the sutta, the Buddha asked, if a body were as big as Mount Sumeru, would that body be big? Subhati first replied that it would be very big, and afterwards said, it is spoken of by the Buddha as no body, therefore it is called a big body. What is a no body? It is not a body. It is not a body. What is it? It is not a body. How can it be called a big body? Nobody refers to the Dhamma body. This is Shen Hua's interpretation. The Buddha's Dhamma body is incomparable. It's actually the Buddha nature. That's why it's inconceivable. It pervades everywhere. If you have a body as big as Mount Sumeru, it is still comparable to Mount Sumeru. Even if it's bigger than Mount Sumeru, it can still be compared to it. The Dhamma body is beyond compare, matchless. There is only one and not two. There is no second thing. That is a big body. The nobody is the Dhamma body, not the reward body. In the Buddha's teaching, the Dhamma body is the true Buddha. So it is said, this offering is made to the pure Dhamma body of Virochana Buddha. You know Virochana Buddha, the primordial original Sammasambuddha, the first of the lineage. Virochana Buddha pervades all places. to the perfect full reward body, Rochana Buddha, to the millions of transformation bodies, Sakyamuni Buddha, the reward body and the transformation body are not true Buddhas. Only the Dhamma body is the true Buddhas. So the Sutta said, nobody is called a big body, nobody is the Dhamma body. So this one is just for interpretation, not important. Perhaps you choose the four line which says, this is the one I was trying to explain to you, the Diamond Sutta's famous stanza. All conditioned phenomena are like dream states, illusion, bubbles and shadow. So in Mandarin is more meaningful. Each year you wafa. You wafa means conditioned phenomena or condition arising existent. Zu mong huan pao ying. Mong is dream. Huan is an illusion, huan self. Then pao is bubble. Ying is like shadow. So everything is like a dream. How real can a dream be? Just dream consciousness. Then illusion means what? The magician create illusion for you to see. Then you think it's real. So these are all illusion, no reality. Then bubble means arise, pop, gone. Split second is there and gone. Then like shadow, move around. It's not a permanent unchanging entity. It follows that form's movement behind the sunlight. That's why it's just like shadow, not real. You cannot kill your own shadow. Understand? Shadow is just a shadow. Understand? Yes, it's condition arising. Then he say, like dew drops and a lightning flash. Zu lu, lu is dew, yi lu tian. Dew is very, very ephemeral, not stable. Upon sunrise, the dew drop will evaporate. That's why it's so unreal. It exists just temporary, ephemeral for a while. Then, like a dew, it just evaporates when the sun rises. Then, like a flash of lightning, bot, ilutian. Like I said, the reality is within the moment. As real it can be, it's just a moment. Moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? And how real can the moment be? Split second is there and gone, like a flash of lightning, gone. That's why the moment you say, this moment is gone. Next moment again is gone. And we already developed the understanding of life. We can translate life into existence. You know? Existence, to exist, means to go through time. And the whole of time can be defined as past, present and future. This will cover the whole spectrum of time. Then of these three, past, present and future, which is the reality? So it's very easy to define existence and time. Past is already gone, no more reality. Future, yet to come, also no more reality. So what is happening in the world? Every moment that is the only reality. Means what? Moment to moment, life just passes by like that. Split second, split second, split second. Dead and gone, dead and gone. When you have mindfulness, when you have clarity, when you silence your mind, you see this so clearly. Then you realize the fleeting world. There is no reality. But your delusion trap you. Delusion transform time into permanent because you create memory. You create past and future. That's why you retain them through memory. They become real. Then you cling on to it. You hold on to it. Then you never, never experience the moment. That's why you can never live life. You can never be with the moment to experience and understand clearly what life is. Actually, it's just the moment. Split second is gone. And this is the only reality in life, or you better mark it down. So what are you doing within the moment, within each and every reality? Human beings' problem is they are too busy thinking, planning and worrying about life. Busy running after this, running after that, chasing after this, chasing after that, worry about this, worry about that, excited over this, excited. But they are never aware of the moment. They never get to live. They never get to realize the moment. That's where your problem is, living beings' problem is. So now this teaching is very good, very profound. That's why the Buddha said, contemplate them thus. Ying zuo zu si guan. Those who know Mandarin, the meaning will shine forth more clearly. So the English, if you develop deep understanding, then the meaning is also the same. But if you just read the English word, people cannot understand unless they have the deep penetrated Dhamma understanding. All conditioned phenomena or Dhamma, they are impermanent, leading to suffering. They are empty, non-self, unreal. That's why they are like dreams, illusion, bubble and shadow. But the Mandarin words are very good. 一切有为法 means all conditioned Dhamma. Zu mong, huan pao ying. So this four words, they use a single word, single word, single word. It's actually two word. But they take one from the pair. Then they create this four word. Then the meanings stand out very clearly. So when you try to develop Dhamma understanding, you may have to develop some understanding of the Mandarin words. That's why Mandarin words are more suitable for Dhamma. Because English language was never designed for spiritual teaching. It's for communication, and they got a lot of literature and other things. So they are actually designed for that. Then as you examine deeper into the English language, in fact, in the European Union, they discover a lot of flaw in the English language. The pronunciation and many other things. But not important. More important is when you understand, you don't need the words. You just understand. The word is just to conceptualize it for living being. So that living being need a image or an idea of what that thing is. Then only through that they develop the understanding. But when you awaken, it's not the word anymore. It's that truth, that Dhamma. Like Sankara, that word, actually become very clear to you when you awaken. All the various words that they use, the English equivalent, you realize all these words combined together is still never define what Sankara is. But you will understand everything that your mind can do, the content of consciousness is Sankara. And Sankara is so vast. Everything that your mind can do, the whole content of consciousness. That's why it includes your deceitfulness, your cunningness, your whatever mind states and all those things. That word cannot describe one. They are also part of Sankara. That's why the Buddha used Sabbe Sankara Anicchang. All of Sankara is impermanent. Your mind make ade, condition arising, cause of phenomena. So this poem, try to reflect, contemplate, and develop deep understanding of it. If you have Mandarin base, it will help you a lot. It will help you a lot. Okay, any question so far? If you got, you can put up your hand. Then you ask, then we discuss it further. Anybody? Yeah. Oh, very quiet. Huh? Either you understand or you don't understand. I hope by now you should have better understanding. Huh? Okay. Then we continue. Everything which has form and appearances, everything which exists is included within the conditioned phenomena. You know what is conditioned phenomena? Yeah? Yeah? You know what is a phenomena? Yeah? What is a phenomena? Huh? What is a phenomena? What is a phenomena? Louder. Yeah, use the mic. Use the mic. Yeah.
Anything the mind can perceive.
Very good. Whatever that the mind can perceive is a phenomena. So anything perceivable by the mind is a phenomena. So what is a phenomena? Yeah? What is a phenomena? Whatever your mind can perceive there. Yeah. Like this white board is a phenomena. This sound vibration is a phenomena. But you can perceive it. Understand? Then even the fan, the wind that's blown to you, the breeze. That's why the whatever condition of nature, those are phenomena. Then whatever movement or activity is a phenomena. Understand? Because you can perceive it. So even without movement, they are also phenomena. That's why when you understand what a phenomena is, then it's very easy to develop the understanding of the teaching. Anything perceivable by the mind is a phenomena. So you, from there you relate how you perceive through your senses. You can perceive it through your seeing consciousness. You can perceive it through your hearing consciousness. You can perceive it through your smell consciousness, taste consciousness, tactile and thought consciousness. Like when you dream, your mental image, your various type of dream state, your various type of perception in the mind, images, mental images. Yeah. All these are phenomena. That's why we can break it down into three types of phenomena. The whole universe have these three. First one is what? Physical phenomena. Physical phenomena means what? All the phenomena relate to physical, like your physical body, all your activity and movement. Then whatever you can perceive of this physical body, like any part of your body, like you know, or mindful of breathing, that is a phenomena. Mindful of your rising and falling of the abdomen, then mindful of your chanting. So all these are physical phenomena. Then when you walk, the four posture, the activity, bending, stretching, turning, all these are relate to physical phenomena. So whatever you can perceive about the physical phenomena, these are called physical phenomena related to your physical form, your physical body, or other people's physical body. These are called phenomena, physical. Then the other one is your mental movement, your mental perception. That's why we call it mental phenomena. Then the third one is whatever you can perceive within nature. That's why we call it nature's phenomena. So now you understand why I use these three. Physical phenomena, mental phenomena, and nature's phenomena. Then you cover all of phenomena. And all of phenomena is condition arising. That's why they call it the condition world, condition phenomena. That's why each year you will hear far. Condition Dhamma, the Mandarin word used. Yeah. So now can follow, huh? Okay? Hopefully it's clearer. But now I got more time to go deeper. I don't have to rush through anymore. Then after that, we continue. Everything which has form and appearances, everything which exists is included within the conditioned phenomena. But he didn't break it down for you, huh? Into physical, mental, and nature's phenomena. These three, I contemplated it myself through my own cultivation. My nature developed this understanding from the past. That's why I can share it with you. And I realized these three define the whole existential phenomena. So physical, mental, and nature's phenomena. That which is conditioned is like an empty, elusive, unreal thing, like a bubble on water, or like a man's shadow. What are conditioned phenomena? Everything in the world with form and appearances. That's why they use this to define. But the actual definition is whatever that is perceivable by the mind is a phenomena. So form is perceivable by the mind. Appearances is also perceivable by the mind. But there are a lot more things perceivable by the mind. So not only form and appearances, like your mental states, mental phenomena, mental activity and movement, these are all related to phenomena. Then nature's phenomena, whatever that is within nature, even the silence of nature that can be perceived is a phenomena. That's why this definition is not complete. You just say everything in the world with form and appearances. No form, no appearances, like mental states, they are not phenomena. They are also phenomena. It's like anything perceivable by the mind is a more accurate definition. Then we continue. Even your country, your family, and your own body are all conditioning, all conditioned phenomena. Since all conditioned phenomena, he said decay, actually go the way of nature, you should tell people that the four lines says, sorry, you should tell people what the four lines say. If you understand the four lines, speak the four lines. If you understand five, speak five. If you understand six, speak six. If you understand the entire Vajra Sutta, speak the entire Sutta. If you understand the 10 Vajra Sutra, speak that many. Explain as much as you understand. This is Chuan Hua's interpretation. The blessing and virtue you obtain from speaking for others, even but four lines, are more than those obtained from the gifts of as many of the 7 precious gems or treasure in this universe as would fill the 3,000 great thousand world system, equals to the number of grains of sand in as many Ganges River as there are grains of sand in the Ganges River. Why? Because this merits and virtue is conditioned. Merits and virtue without outflow which has a mark. Sorry. Merits and virtue with outflows which has a mark. Whereas the virtue and merits derived from speaking the Buddha Dhamma is unconditioned, undecayed. Merits and virtue without outflow and devoid of a mark. The latter bears much, much more greater fruits, and thus surpass the former blessing and virtue. So now you know why the Diamond Sutta is so powerful. If you can reach the understanding of Diamond Sutta and cultivate, I tell you, even one life or even one day of understanding the Diamond Sutta and putting it into real cultivation, the field of merits and virtue that arise is immeasurable. You cannot imagine how great that merit is. That's why after a while when you understand, you cannot like normal living being already. You cannot like want to do good already. Understand? People tell you this one, that one. Oh, so excited. Like during the early day, oh, you want to go. They say this monk, how virtuous. So you're so excited, I want to go and do. But then after you went through the cultivation, after you realize all those things, then you realize this one is nothing, understand? Because when you realize that mind that has that realization, every moment of activity you do, the field of merit is immeasurable. It is based on the unconditioned, without any mark. So why you still want to chase after all these conditioned merits? That's why you cannot do anymore. But when there is condition to do, you will still do. Yeah, it's not for you anymore. There is no mark anymore. It's for living being. And you know that there is no real living being. And yet you know that there is the form and mind. Understand? That's why you will still do. That form and mind still got a duty. And you're very clear about this one. That's why the understanding is so different. It's not about concept anymore. It's not about playing with words. It's true understanding of what the form and mind is. Then there is no confusion, no delusion. Okay? Yeah. Okay, we stop there. Huh? Then, you got any question you can ask. Huh? Chapter 12, maybe you all go back and read up before we start the next lesson. Revering the orthodox teaching. This one is another section of the sutta. Chapter 12 also very interesting. Maybe we just run through, then you go back and read. Moreover, Subhati, you should know that all the gods, men, and asura of the world should make offering to any place at which even so few as four stanza of the verse from this sutta are spoken, and so forth, just as they would to a Buddha shrine or temple. How much the more so to any place where people can completely receive, hold, read and recite the sutta. Subhati, you should know that such people realize the foremost and rarest Dhamma. See, this type of Dhamma is very rare and it is the supreme. In any place the sutta text is found, what did he say? There is a Buddha or a reverend disciple of the Buddha. That's why the Diamond Sutta is very, very powerful, very profound. Wherever you can find a way place that teach and share this, there must be great beings around. Otherwise, they cannot teach and cannot share. And this one is something people cannot understand. That's why the request came. I remember from Hui Rong, you all should thank her. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. When the request was made, at first, my nature felt strange. You know, how come the condition can become like that so fast? Got people want this type of teaching. And it has never been requested before for so long. Then all of a sudden the condition set into place. I explained this before. I think simultaneously, Miss Lee, their Sunday class, they also request. They wanted the same sutta because the non-human there, the beings there, they also wanted that one. But my nature is such I cannot be teaching the same sutta at two places simultaneously. That is not my nature style. That's why I stopped straight away. I said no. I said Tuesday class. They already requested. Then I say you change to another one. Then finally he chose the 6 Patria Black Font Sutta. But whatever it is, the condition is such that Tuesday class actually deciphers. Wrong decipher. And really we should thank her. Something conditioned her to make that request. So this is what the teaching is all about. If you have the parami, the condition to receive this type of condition, to understand this type of teaching, you should make full use of it. You should rejoice and develop the very strong faith. Because this one life or this few months, I think it will take at least 1.5 years to finish this one. Now we only chapter 12. Chapter 11 just finished. We got 30 over chapter. So 1/3 only. Slightly more than 1/3. 32, I remember. Correct or not? 32 chapter, if I'm not wrong.
Why Yun Chan look at me like so strange on that? Means you didn't even know how many chapter. No wonder. 32, correct. So we just hit 1/3. How many months already? Got 1 year already. How about that 1 year already? Wow, like that we need 4 years to finish. Last year, April, 15 months already. Times 3, 45 months. Wow, almost 3 over years. After Chinese New Year, I remember. Before Chinese New Year, but we start after Chinese New Year, yeah. Wow, really, 15, 16 months already. Oh, very fast. But I tell you, this sutta, very few can teach. Very, very few in this world. That's why when the request was made, my nature had a lot of joy. Then it saw the condition. That's why it's so beautiful. Okay, so you go back and read. It's very interesting. Any question so far? Huiling, the new... Oh, your brother. Oh, okay. Wow, sadhu. Oh, he is your brother. Oh, okay. I didn't know. I saw him walk in. You are most welcome. Also, Tan. No, can be another cousin brother. This one is the... I know, this is the real brother. Cousin brother can be different surname. No? So you are Tan. Puyang San and Tan Puyang but Mandarin same, No pronunciation the dialect, like in Alostar, Hokkien Town, my father go and register my name that time, he spoke to him in Hokkien. So Tio already. If Hakka fellow Xiang Chong become Chong already, C-H-O-N-G, understand? Then some pronounce at Tio, not Tio, Tio. What Tio? T-N-E-O-H, he put the N. That's why my brother got T-N-E-O-H, then my elder brother T-H-E-O-H, then I T-E-O-H. Wow, my father got to put alias. Tio Hong Sing. Wow. Until the IC become very long. The person who write the IC one, I say, I have to write very small alphabet, otherwise I cannot finish. Three names with the alias. Okay. Your uncle, your dad. Anyway, you are most welcome to join us. Anything you don't know, ask your sister. She has been here very long. She can explain to you. Don't worry. Then give him some seminar book and other things. No, you can take for him. He's at the shelf there. Whatever book, Hasutta book or what, if he can understand, will be good. And he's also your nephew. So you are kuku. Yi or kuku? Outside, mother side one. Okay. I thought you kuku. The best is the second yi, they call er yi. your mother is er yi. Ming Chun very smart, straight away point. Then my wife brother, he got 2 children, one boy, one girl. They were born in Australia, brought up in Australia, Melbourne. So they are amokia when they come over. So I have to tell them, this one is your tua ko, li ko, sa ko. He very confused, you cannot understand. Then we say, okay lah, this big mushroom. Oh, then he can understand, can remember. Oh, big mushroom, okay. Tua ko. So we have to use some of this to like... We call it skillful means to let them learn, because sometimes they don't know Mandarin, it's very difficult. Okay, so at least now we know he's your brother, so I rejoice. Make yourself at home. I feel that it's not easy for you to follow, because it's something quite deep, quite deep. Have you any basic understanding of any Buddhist teaching? Oh, I got, very good, a little bit. So, okay, good enough. Then maybe now you teach him the essential Dhamma of the Theravada, which is very important. Well, Mahayana's problem is they are not exposed to the essential teaching of the Buddha, the basic Theravada teaching. The Theravada teaching actually is the foundation. From there, you go and understand the Mahayana teaching, then the teaching becomes very clear. Without the Theravada foundation, I tell you, you don't know what they are telling you. It is very confusing. They ask you to chant, they ask you to recite the Buddha's name, or you just do. Then they ask you to nian for, you nian for, pao xiang, you pao xiang. Then every day chant here, chant there. You really liabok you. But if you have the Theravada teaching, that foundation is very important. Then the whole of the essence of the Buddha Dhamma become clear. And then you know how the Mahayana teaching come about, how they improvise from there, and how they actually make use of a lot of skillful means to develop the further understanding. Because through the patriarch, especially the six patriarch teaching, a lot of the Mahayana teaching become very different, very penetrative. Before the advent of six patriarch, the unconditioned Dhamma, pointing direct to the true mind, was not understood. That's why six patriarch had to come and teach the true teaching, pointing direct to the true mind, self-nature, Buddha nature, 自性, 本性. Theravada teaching, the problem is everybody is only interested in becoming arahant, saint. Then they only talk about basic teaching, anicchang, dukkang, anatta. They don't believe anything else out of that. Then they even don't believe what the Mahayana say about emptiness. He said the Buddha never teach emptiness. Only three characteristics, anicca, dukkang, anatta. But you look at their sutta, they got sunyata. No? Sunyata is emptiness. But in the teaching, it's never emphasized, only mentioned here and there, a little bit only. No emphasis, no what they call true sutta recording of those teaching. So that's why you find it very difficult. Then a lot of their teaching is all about methodology, method, technique, because over the years it has become like that. Then the emphasis is always on energy field, jhana, concentration. Where they go and translate the samadhi as concentration, equivalent to jhana and all things. That's why all the confusion set in through the commentaries and all those things. Then over the years, the teaching loses its ability to transform living being. That's why you have less and less enlightenment after the Buddha. First 500 years of the passing away of the Buddha, the first 500 years still quite strong. After that, it started to weaken. Then it become what it is today. So all this teaching, you need to slowly go back to the source, the original Theravada teaching, then develop the understanding through proper cultivation. You have to meet up with those cultivators who has already realized. Otherwise, very difficult, very difficult. If they themselves also haven't realized, like the Buddha mentioned it in the Salika Sutta, if you yourself are trapped in the quagmire, how can you help liberate beings and take them across, bring them out of the quagmire? Quagmire is like a very muddy yeah, pit where you get trapped inside there, you cannot come out. Yeah, it's deep underneath. So if you yourself are trapped, you cannot have the ability to share and teach people and help them to get out of it. It's just like you are trapped in samsara, the wheel of birth and death. If you yourself cannot come out, how can you teach? How can you share to enable other living beings to develop the understanding, to liberate their mind? So no way. So that's why it's like the blind leading the blind. So what happened is, like in school, I learn from the teacher, then I teach according to what the teacher teach me. If I'm not a wise one, I believe everything, then how much I can understand the teaching depend on me. So if the teacher already wrong so many percent, and you go and interpret that wrong so many percent, you will have more percentage of wrong. That's why as this teaching are passed down, it gets adulterated, it gets confused, and become what it is nowadays. So you cannot blame the civilization for what happened. That's why you need to have special beings who have their past, so that when they come, upon hearing, they will know what that truth is. Then they will know how to explain to you, interpret to you. Then you can get the actual understanding. Then you can put it to test. If it's the truth, if it's the correct interpretation, you realize it will transform you. It will improve your understanding. Then it will make your life beautiful. Then you realize all this follow nature's law. That everything fall into place. And then you can understand many, many truths. Maybe we have some time. Oh, you still got half an hour. Good. Last night, one couple came. I think the sister, also the auntie, I think. Don't know, Kuku or Yi. I think Raymond's sister, you all know. Raymond's sister. Those Thursday class will know. Yun Chan, you know her? Gladys? I think Stephanie know her. Gladys. You know? Not your Raymond now. Raymond Low. I thought you say Raymond No. Yeah, your husband No. I say not your Raymond. This one is Raymond Low. Yes, Penang on. He brought his children to the Achalo's retreat, and also then they also attended my. Then the sister, very strange. All of a sudden, he came and attended the Thursday class. And she got so interested. Then she keep on listening to my recording. She attended some weeks only that Thursday class. Then she got such strong faith, and she benefited so much. Then all of a sudden, after a few years, I think he suddenly texted me, say, "Brother Teo, you don't mind, is it? I have given your handphone number to my nephew, is it?" Then he said, "My nephew got problem with him, marriage problem." So because of that, I said, "No problem." I said, "He is most welcome to contact me." Then she was very happy. Then he tell him to contact me. Then the nephew also civil engineer. The father also civil engineer, more senior than me. Also JKL on my side. That's why last night they came. So it was a good meetup. Then after that, after I explained, everything clear up. Then I did the final summary. I said, if I talk, you don't record, you cannot remember. I better write it down, then you take a photo shot after that. Then I summarize the important point on the whiteboard. I show you. We all can discuss this so that it is more relevant. It can help you all in many ways. Even those not married also can benefit. Yeah, this is about understanding yourself, relationship with fellow living beings. I give you 2 minutes to look through on the whiteboard. Then we discuss it. I started off with a marriage contract. You know why it's called a contract? When you get married, what you do? You sign the what they call registration, yeah, marriage registration. That is a contract. You can be sued for violating the contract. Especially non-Muslim. You can only have one. Cannot have more than that. Polygamy is against the law. For non-Muslim. Okay. What is your understanding based on what you see? Anybody want to try and come out and explain? It will help you a lot. This one is the most important, huh? Cannot see, resolve issues and problems together. Agree, experience marriage, spouse. This one, Joyce is quite expert. She can handle it very well already. She used to tell me, she said, the Dhamma help a lot. Nobody faux pas help a lot. All this come from the Buddha Dhamma. But you look at it, it's like nothing to do with the Buddha Dhamma. Anybody want to try? Come out and explain. You can use your own understanding, no problem. Don't have to follow this. Nowadays, young couple, even older one also same. After marriage, a lot of problem. Alexander Pope used to say what? Marriage. Reality of marriage begins after the first day of marriage. Before that, you don't know the reality. Then after that, you sleep together, you hear the harmonic. The snoring. Then you start to see the true color of each other. Which normally when you are dating, never show on. When you are dating, the man especially, very patient. No problem, take your time, don't worry. I will wait for you. No lah, I just arrived, don't worry, take your time. Then they will be very patient waiting for you. Buy flower, courting. That time is called courting. Courting, trying to win you over. But once the marriage contract signed, true color come out. But lady also same, no? You think lady don't have? Lady a lot also makeup. Then nowadays a lot went for what they call plastic surgery. So there was one case in China, they want to sue the wife. Because when the children was born, how come become like that one? Then they found out plastic surgery. So there is a lot of But this one, the couple is actually small matter. But it can be big matter if you don't nip it at the bud. They are very typical couple that has this what they call problem in inverted comma. It's not the serious problem, understand not? But it's just going through life. So maybe I won't say much about what happened. I just want to give you the understanding of how to resolve issues and problems. We are all marriage, regardless of how beautiful it is. If you don't have the understanding of what is marriage, you will have problem. You will end up with a lot of argument, conflict, misunderstanding. Then both of them, luckily, after I talked to them, I said, I can only explain to you the nature's law that governs life and existence. And this one comes from the Buddha's teaching. And it can help you understand life very beautifully. But I say I only heard from the husband. I want to hear from the wife too. So I let the two of them tell me what happened. Then only after that I say, okay, now you listen. Now I help you to fix all this. It's not difficult. It's very easy. So a lot of things come about because basic human weakness is what? Selfishness. Very good. See? Pamasuri understand. Then selfishness bring about what? When you are selfish, you want things your way, and so you become egoic, dominant. So you want to be right. If you are right, means what? Your spouse is wrong. Then how? The spouse also want to be right. So he will argue with you, understand? I tell you all. You think you only can get angry. He also human being of feeling or no. Some are more patient. Later on, the father told me. The father was a civil engineer. He said, luckily my son come. He said, thank you so much. He said, for advising and all those things. Then he told me this before he go. He said, he very different from me. You know? The father and son. The father said, I very patient. You know? Means he yarn the wife. And so he never argue. How Jensen. He said, my son, opposite, very hot temper, very like kanchong, everything one fast on. Success also one fast, everything also one fast on. Very impatient. I said, that's life. That's why life is like that. So if you study English, English got this literature in it. Form 4. Form 5, I study literature, you know, but I get very bad mark. I think the first literature test, I failed. I got only 20 over marks, I remember. Yeah. Then I decide to study. I don't want to have red mark on my report card. You know. So I force myself to study. You know. So sleepy also listen. You know. Then one part excite me, you know, after one of my classmates show it to me. At first, I read the literature book, so boring, you know, but the English is very funny, you know. All got pun and all those things inside, and I don't know head or tail about the whole literature. I read, I cannot understand, you know. But then he start to explain to me, you know. He said, no, Theo, he said, my classmate, you know, Rajasekharan, he's very nice, his English very good. He said, you listen, Sir William Shakespeare, he said. I straight away laugh, shaking spear. Well, I cannot remember Shakespeare shaking. I have to remember. So he said, you look at this. If music is the food of love, play on. Wow, straight away it strike me, you know. If music is the food of love, no, music can become food, no, of love, no, then play on. No. Wow, I said, this is very meaningful. It is very good. Then that make me interested in literature. No? You heard of these words, if music is the food of love, play on. But it's like food for you to develop the love within the relationship and all those things. That's why the king say, play on. And I say, no. If your music is so lousy, it cannot be the food of love, then you cannot play on. And I say, no. That's why whatever in life can become very beautiful. Then somebody very smart, no, they add in this one, no. If variety is the spices of life, have more. You know the man very naughty, one. No? Variety is the spices of life, have more. He is not talking about food. So, if you don't know how to use it, you don't know how to apply it, then you misuse them. Dhamma is the same. You interpret it wrongly for your own selfish intention and gain. Then you debate. Then you bring about problem, issue. So what I told him is very simple. I said, you have to understand when you enter into a marriage contract, this marriage contract is legal binding. Understand not? Then you are not alone. You cannot be like before, selfish. Because when you are alone, you can make your own decision. When you are married, this contract binds you.
And marriage will only flourish and work if you have this understanding behind marriage. Because it is a marriage contract. And this marriage contract demands what? First is sincerity. Is there? If you are not sincere to enter into this marriage contract, no meaning is there. Correct or not? Because it's going to bind you for life, no? Like the Christians say, not until death shall we depart, no? Huh? Then you can tell me, say, but still not necessary, I can divorce. Then you breach that trust. The marriage contract has been breached, that's why it led to divorce. It doesn't work anymore. But this contract is based on sincerity of intention. So both enters into this contract sincerely. Means you want this marriage to work, understand or not? To become meaningful. To become beautiful. You want to establish a family unit which you can be proud of. So that you can have the good life. So that you can have two person to share whatever burden or joy or happiness. Like in Mandarin, what do you call that? Yao fok tong xiong, yao lan tong tong. Correct? So you ask the wife. Most wife, you think they want to endure the suffering with you. Yao fok tong xiong, a lot will come. Understand? So the problem is, our culture, Chinese culture, maybe olden day, they say, don't be too greedy, be contented. Means, marry a good husband, and so siu lai lai, happy for life. But not necessary. All the siu lai lai kena, kena until very severe. So it's not about hoping to marry a rich guy. It's more important marriage the right guy. True or not? So they say, don't marry a rich guy or a successful guy. Marry the right guy. So they say, a lot of those people who went through this marriage suffering, their advice to people who want to get married is, never marry the wrong one. That's why you have to learn. Because a lot, after married, only they regret like anything. But they regret is because they don't have this understanding, this Dhamma. If they have this understanding and this Dhamma, all marriage will become successful, beautiful. Because I asked them one very simple question. By going through life based on what you are going through, do you realize one thing or not? I asked both of them. Are you happy? I asked the wife also. No, he said, not happy. We are going through tough time, miserable. A lot of unhappiness, a lot of resentment. Then I say, that is not life, isn't it? True or not? Because each and every one of us, we hold our own life destiny. To be happy or to be unhappy is entirely our choice. We hold the key to our own life destiny. True or not? If you have a choice, then you choose wisely. Choose to be happy. Then why are you not happy? Why are you going through this? Because you don't have this teaching. You have a lot of selfishness. Both of you. You want to be right. See? I say, first thing you must understand, right and wrong won't help, won't solve your problem. Understand? Whatever issue you face in life, you have to resolve it amicably through an understanding, and together you do it. Then you have to develop what? Develop understanding. Then you have to understand that it's no longer you alone. You have the other partner, your spouse, to consider. So you have to learn to give and take. Learn to develop consensus and compromise. Then learn to appreciate. Learn to sacrifice. one can sacrifice when you understand that it is not about you or me or the other person. It's about your family unit. Understand not? So when you start to understand all this, you will work towards the benefits of the family unit. So when you work towards the benefit of the family unit, it's no more about you or your spouse. Then you can sacrifice on behalf of the family unit. Then you must learn how to appreciate what each and everyone has contributed towards that family unit, no matter how small. Sometimes you cannot say, I am the man, I go out and work. You think easier, I am the one that brings back the paycheck, the money and all that. Then the other one is a housewife, and you say she do nothing. I can tell you the housewife do more things than the one that goes out and work. Yeah. Because day and night they have to look after a lot of things. Then they have to go through the pregnancy, give birth to children, raise them. And it's not easy, I tell you. So all this need understanding. So as I slowly explain to them, I say, if you are sincere to commit yourself to this relationship, what happens is you will have to trust each other. True or not? Yeah? If you are not sincere, then there is no trust. If you are sincere and committed, both will not violate this marriage contract. Means what? I trust you, you trust me. So no jealousy, first thing. No envy. No suspicion. Understand or not? Then you don't do all those things that spouse do. Hire a private detective, investigator, go after them and all those things. Then take picture. Then go to office. They talk with colleague, also you got jealous. So all this will create a lot of problems. So trust is very important. When I trust you, you trust me, we can still live our normal life. I can still have my friend, my classmate, but within limits. Understand? Then I can still have my private life. You don't have to sacrifice everything because that trust is there. Then you can still do what you love to do. This type of relationship is very rare. We are most spouse after marriage, they are either possessive or full of envy and jealousy. They want to own you. At first they try to court you. After they court you, marriage contract signed already, then they try to own you, possess you, control you. So possessiveness comes from selfishness. Then the anger, the emotion, the envy, the jealousy also come from that ego. The self-delusion. Then the fear, the insecurity of losing the other will create a lot of thought projection that leads to argument and misunderstanding. Then not understanding life, wanting to be right. This is the biggest problem. Then you argue a lot. The result of wanting to be right will lead to argument, misunderstanding, quarrel. Then who suffer? Like both the spouse, they understand. The newborn baby, which is less than 1 year old, suffer, caught in between. That's why they see it, luckily. Then they nip it at the bud. Then initially when they say out, they say, yeah, because they didn't know about this, they went through. That's why there's a lot of resentment. And both keep to themselves. Then luckily I get the husband to say out. Then the wife also to say out. Then they start to understand. Well, the wife's intention is, after he understood some of this, then he said, actually, but do you know why? Again, the usual reason. For the sake of my family. That's why I strive so hard. I want to be successful. I want to make all the money very fast, like the father said, very impatient. But then he hit with a lot of problem and hurdle. Because I say you don't understand the nature's law that governs life and existence. Law of karma, you reap what you sow. Do good, begets good. So if you want to be successful in life, you want to have the good life leading to financial freedom, you must have merits, you must have parami, you must have generosity, you must have goodness, kindness, you must take care of karma. Then understand the causes and conditions to bring about all these things. So if you don't live life according to that law, all this will not happen. That's why you will bang the wall. You will hit a lot of problems. Then you go and look for feng shui, believe feng shui, believe the so-called, what they call medium. Yeah? Then the fortune teller, spend more money and get into deeper trouble. Then all the rites and ritual. So what is more important is when you understand this law, what must you do? You must have goodness. You must have kindness. You must learn how to avoid all evil. You must keep certain precepts, moral rules. Then only he start to understand. Then he said, because of his over-jealous to be successful, he unknowingly put a lot of pressure on himself. Then he went into various types of business. At first, investment also hit the wall. Then pass the money to the father. Initially make money. Then crisis come. Also got problem. Then finally, he wanted to buy old property, renovate, then sell. During good time, okay, make some money. But time and whatever, cash flow and all those things. Then during bad time like now, start with a few property, cannot sell, got cash flow problem. Give him more pressure. Then when you got pressure, what happened? Come back, release it onto the wife and the children. Then I say, what are you doing? You are making life difficult for your spouse, for your children. Then your in-law and your parents all also worry for you. Is that what life is all about? Then I say, you want to make money, but at the expense of your health, you are so stressed out. Understand not? Then at the expense of your time, you are so busy that you don't have time for your family. If I become your wife also, I cannot take it anymore. But luckily, I got Dhamma. That's why I know how to advise you. So after I explained to him, I said, there are very, very easy way to be successful financially, to make money. Then I say, why you go and buy old property, renovate, put in the cash to buy, then put in the cash to renovate, then put it on the market and hopefully sell and make a little bit of money. I said, don't need to be so difficult. Go for good location, buy when before the area pick up, new township or what, boom. Like I bought SS2, I said. I bought 148,000, this house, I said. Then the rental keep on going up. Then over here, capital appreciation. So you buy two or three of these, or one shop lot, the rental you collect over the years and the capital appreciation, you can retire. You don't have to do all these things. Then he looked at me. He said, you got to teach this type of thing on. Then after that, I tell him about investment. I said, stock market, very easy. Huh, stock market? You panic. Then when I explained to him, wow, he said, you got this course, I want to attend. I said, buy low, sell high, and all the skill. Wow, he got very interested. He said, if I know, I don't want to waste time on all those things. Stress myself out and create so much problem. So that's why he said he wants to attend Tuesday class. I don't know. But I think they will come. Don't know when. So what happened was, this one bring forth a lot of understanding, and they were so interested. They sat here until 11 p.m. The father also come in, the mother also come in. Then after that, I explained. I said, you must have this sincerity to commit yourself to this family unit. Then develop the trust so that you identify what are your good and strong points. So when you identify your strength and weaknesses, where did I write? Second last. Look for each other's strength and weaknesses, I say. Then divide your duty accordingly. Then help each other to strengthen whatever weaknesses they have. Because you are now a family unit. And so two person to think over a problem is so much easier than one person. Two person to solve a problem is so much easier than a person having to do everything. So when you understand this, you will appreciate each other for their contribution. That's why I say you have to develop virtue. You must have contentment so that you are contented with your life, you are happy. Otherwise, you keep on chasing after money at the expense of your health and your valuable family time. You lost everything. By the time you realize that, it's too late. Understand? You are so stressed out, you lost your health, and you already lost your wife, your spouse, and your children. And then you regret. That's how people get into depression and all those things. So I say, before it happened, you didn't add about that. You develop contentment. It means you are contented with life. Whatever that you have, that is what your karma brings forth. You are born of it, here to eat, condition, supported by it, and you are what you are because of it. But from there, you can start. You can grow. You can become successful. I say, just like me, first generation kid, I came up, I strived, I developed this understanding, then life become beautiful. That is hard to understand. Then after that, I said, you must have respect for each other. When you have contentment, respect will come. Then you must learn to have gratitude towards your loved ones, towards anybody who helped you, your friend or whatever. Then you must have kindness, gentleness towards your spouse. Understand them, have goodness. Then be diligent in life. Don't be lazy. Don't neglect your duty. Then learn to appreciate life. Learn to be appreciative of their contribution. So I say, you start to do all this, you will become beautiful. Then you will be able to sacrifice for the family unit because it's worth sacrificing because there is a future. And for the future benefit of your family unit, especially your children as they grow up, like what you mentioned earlier, I told the husband. You can do it, but through right understanding. Then you can start to appreciate the contribution of each other. This is very important, Asana. That's why you say through your sincerity, thank you so much for helping out to do all this. Means you appreciate what they have done. Then they will be very, very willing to sacrifice, Asana. All spouse same or no? If you don't appreciate, come back, comment. I tell you, harvest it. Why food still haven't cooked? Why every day same one? You got no new idea or that? Where you learn your cooking or you never cook before? I tell you, he will thankful when go for a strike. Then he say, you gong gam to li chi ke kao tiu. So all this will be the result. Then I say, the other one that prevent argument is your career, your life, your money, you decide. Understand? Don't go and like your wife want to donate some money to charity, also cannot. Want to give to in-law, also cannot. All must come to your pocket. Then those housewives want how? Understand? So your career means your whatever job you are holding or what. If it's yours, you decide. But you can seek advice from your spouse, understand? Who can advise you, share their thoughts with you. But finally, you decide where is your life so that there is no pressure on each other. Then, if it's something that relates to his life, like the friend that he wants to have, her usual like school friends or what, you cannot say, hey, you married already. You know? You cannot simply go out. You know? You are mine. Oh, like that how? Like in a prison. But when he, classmate call, he just go out like that. He didn't even ask you permission. I don't know. Then they play golf, they what? Man is usual. But not all men. Some men are very good. Like that one, very patient one. The father. He say, very patient one. He never got hot temper one. I think the wife very happy. Then, your money, if your wife's money or your spouse's money, let him do what he like, lah, understand? As long as he don't neglect the household, understand? So all this, I say, will bring about good understanding of life. Then through this understanding, you can actually develop the harmony, the love, then your family unit will become beautiful. Then you will have very good life. Then your life will become meaningful. Then when you have this good mind state, I say, your energy is very good. Your vibration is very good, because when you have a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, a lot of goodness, kindness, this positive virtue will shine forth, like we chant. Then it will bring forth the causal same condition for good vibration to be in the house. Then the non-human, the Dhamma protector, they will like your house. Then you will not have all those non-human that are very eerie, that like people argue and have a lot of problem. That one, no more. So your good karma will come to support you more and more because you have good vibration. That's how your life improves. Otherwise, I say, you every day argue, become unhappy with a lot of resentment, like the wise say, because every day also have to go through this type of life. And they do also not happy, that's how not. So because of that, what happened? The negative energy will build up. Then negative karma will come. That's why everything go wrong. Haywire. Cash flow problem, job problem, contractor problem, bank, financing, chasing other. All the problems come like a tai zha. I say, because this is karma. That's all. So I say, you come into my house, how you feel? You feel very good. You know? Oh, straight away, Bo also answer. You know? Yes, your house is different. You know? Come in, very calm one, very peaceful one, nice. Oh, that's very different, understand? So with this, I hope you all learn something. Okay? Sadhu. So this one is extra class. I normally don't talk on this. But it so happened they came last time. Then I want to wrap up for today's class. No? Then I was thinking, I think a lot of people need this. Even if you don't need it now, well, most Dhamma friends don't have this problem already. For your kid. For your friend. Very good. Pass the mic. No need. Okay. Wow, that's a good one, Good answer. Yes. Correct. Is this the daughter that attended my daughter's wedding? She very good. She told her, he said, wow, relative of speech, very good. the advice on this. Swear. No, that's why when you understand, you can help them to understand life so that their marriage will flourish, understand? And their marriage life will become something very meaningful so that they will cherish it. They will, like, thank you for what you have advised them. Because a lot of marriage fail because they don't have this understanding. And it's very easy to become unhappy. A few words only and now it trigger over. Then jealousy is the worst, I tell you. Jealousy, come back. They say, Mo Cheng Gong. When they suspect you, means you die already. And the man got a discussion. You know what they say? Even if you have done it, Da Sei Dou Mo Ying. Can never admit. I say, you admit, you finish it. they even advise you to that extent. So a lot of these things, you go through life, you will start to witness them. And this is Buddha Dhamma, understand? Avoid all evil, do good, have kindness. Then I even explain the precept to them, especially the third precept. I say, who will do that, violate the third precept? Unless you are really, really not a human being. Then they use the word themselves. No, I didn't say it. Yeah, like animal. Because you know why? Just because of that lust, the craving, you can go and do this thing and cause the whole family unit to collapse. No? Understand? No? And you cause so much harm and hurt to your spouse, your children, your in-law, your parents, your brothers, sisters, all those that have relationship with you. It's not worth it, you know. Maybe you better end. 9 minutes. Oh, ten minutes. 10 minutes. We exceeded. Okay, we end. We will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then after that, we can have our break. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana itta wata camihi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sabbasampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu Yawa Nivana Patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones. Then we end.